I am fired up to be talking to my good friend, Chris Cassidy, former NASA astronaut, commander of the International Space Station, U.S. Navy SEAL, now the president and CEO of the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation. Welcome, Chris.
And man, great to be with you always.
I think in that intro, I forgot to mention you're also an actor in a Disney movie, nonetheless.
Yeah, that's right. The 6-part documentary that just came out, Among the Stars, it's kind of cool to see it come to completion. It was a couple year project that they were filming and putting it together.
I mean, no matter what, it's a good look on the resume there. Just one more cool thing, especially the Disney movie. But I've seen parts in the trailer. I need to watch the rest, and it looks awesome. So I'm fired up for you on that.
Awesome. But thanks, man.
Yeah. So with all due respect to everybody else we've talked to over the last year, you definitely one of the most badass person, the accomplishments and all that. So really excited to dig into it. But I had to start with a pretty funny story from, I guess it was May 2020. You know, you're up in the International Space Station, and you had said you were going to potentially call or something like that. And I remember I stepped outside and I came back and I had a voicemail from a random phone number, and I go listen. It's like, "Hey Ben, it's Chris from the International Space Station." I was like, of all the calls I've ever missed, but you know what? I ended up having a really cool voicemail from that recording, and then we talked at some point, which is one of the coolest experiences of my life. So talking to you when you were up there. So
yeah, don't feel bad, because anymore in the day of telemarketers and all that, nobody answers their phone if it's not saved in the thing. So yeah. That was the biggest difference between this last mission and my previous ones is last time people would answer their phone. This in 2020, everybody was a voicemail message from me.
That's funny. That has to be pretty cool though, while you're up there to kind of give those experiences. You're really cool about, you brought a picture of my family up there, and you sent me a video of throwing a football up there, which was really cool. So it must be those little parts of it must be a really cool experience.
You know what, Ben, as you mentioned, I've flown 3 missions. My first mission, I was excited to experience it for me. And then the second mission, I kind of knew what space was like, and it wasn't so new, but I thought I would go. I didn't think it would be my last. This third mission in 2020, I kind of predicted it would be my last mission, and I was excited to do it, to share the experience with others. And that was an interesting mindset shift for me between the different space flights, in terms of it wasn't about me anymore. It was more about getting others to see how cool it is. If everybody in the world had 5 minutes out that window, man, I tell you, it'd be a better world.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I appreciate you sharing with me and my family. That was really cool. So we're keeping our New Englander streak going here. And I know you're from the area, so you have a wild background, including a lot of service to our country. And love to just tell us about it a little bit, kind of how you started off and through college and your service.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town in southern Maine, York, Maine. And while I was there, I had no idea about military service, but I knew I wanted to go to college. Paying for it was going to be a thing. I was an okay athlete, but wasn't going to be raining scholarships or anything. And when I stumbled upon the service academies and realized that it's free to go there, you just have to be in the Navy or Army or Air Force for a few years. And that was a good fit. And I liked the discipline of the process there, but I didn't know about the SEALs. This is back in 1987, 88, before the internet, before lots and lots of SEAL books and SEALs on talking shows. So when I arrived in Annapolis is when I saw my very first SEAL pin, which is a large pin that we wear on our uniforms. And I was like, whoa, what is that? And I was impressed with the guy wearing it. And that's motivated me to kind of seek that out as my first career. And then same thing, while I was in the SEAL teams, about 5 or 6 years into my SEAL career is when I met Bill Shepard, who was the first Navy SEAL to become an astronaut. And he told me about the process and how you do it. And I thought, hey, if I apply and get selected, it'd be amazing. If I apply and don't, it's okay too, because I loved what I was doing in the SEAL teams. And it just kind of worked out. You know, life is this amazing sequence of opportunities and doors opening and closing, and how, what you do with them, and the mentors that you have along the way. And I'm sure Ben, same thing for you. You never thought you'd be doing all the stuff you did, you do now. Yeah. When you were a young guy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is interesting though, just how the path kind of compounded on itself, because you can't go into, there's a certain amount of mental toughness, physical toughness. You said you're like, I'm not an athlete, but I know you completed an Ironman World Championship in Kona, and was it 2014? So yeah. You're an athlete, maybe not a scholarship athlete, but you definitely, I would say you're an athlete. And so was what I was kind of thinking about being sales and being a SEAL, and a lot of that people think about mental toughness and physical toughness. Is there a certain physical thing or a certain moment that sticks out to you from your time in the SEALs?
In terms of mental and physical like toughness?
Yeah. Sort of like a physical moment or even a mental moment where you're just like, I have to get through it.
Kind of two. One was in the training on the way to become a SEAL. Mm-hmm. And BUDS is generally 6 months long. And about the fifth week is hell week. And that's Sunday night through Friday. And I remember like this Wednesday, the sun was setting on Wednesday of hell week, and we're eating sandy, cold MREs, sitting on the beach and freezing. Yeah. And I started to drift off mentally and visually, and was looking out at the horizon of the ocean. And I wasn't thinking about quitting, but I was sure feeling sorry for myself. Like, this is really sucks. What am I doing here? And my buddy right next to me, Don Spites, he jabbed me with his elbow and said, "Hey, snap out of it." And that's all it took. You know, it was like that guy right next to me who knew me really well. He could just look at the glassy look on my eyes, and he pulled me right back to it. And that was a moment that teamwork and, you know, this, the concept of swim buddy really solidified in my brain. Like, cause other times I was that guy for somebody else. You know, you never know when you're going to need it in life. It's not just in sports or on the field, or it's in life. And you need people to help pull you out, and you can be there for them. And then in my operational SEAL world, one particular mission in Afghanistan, we were going in, there was this place near Tora Bora. We thought we were going in for one night, and it was a long, hard night. And we got to the extraction point for the helicopters. We could even hear the helicopters, but they got waved off, and we were told to stay for more days. It was undefined. We had all drank all of our water and eaten the minimal food we brought, because we thought it was just going to be a short mission. And that was a moment in time where, like, okay, we're here. We're in combat. We're not getting extracted. We don't know when we're going to get extracted. We got to change plans on the fly, adapt, be flexible, adjust, figure out water, figure out a little bit of food. And that was a moment that really hit me about adaptability and flexibility and just kind of making the best of what you got.
Yeah. And so how does the next stage of your life, like, how did that translate to being an astronaut and, you know, being up there and moments that stick out where you need that mental toughness and physical toughness?
Yeah. Like, life as an astronaut is, you know, I was an astronaut for 18 years. A year of that was in space, but 17 of those years I was doing work on the Johnson Space Center, supporting other missions, you know, developing future concepts for space flu suits and whatnot, all different projects. But when you come down to it, we train in the sports field, you train for that moment when the game's on the line. And in our situation, that is launch day, spacewalk day, reentry day. You reach in the robotic arm to grab some expensive satellite or payload. And you feel that pressure. And so the core of my training in the military really allowed me to do as an astronaut was focus and not worry about external extractions on the moment when it really mattered. Like you're about to cut a cable on a spacewalk that's unrecoverable. If you cut the wrong cable, you do serious damage to a functioning system. So that kind of thing, putting the stress aside, putting the external pressure aside, and just focusing on what you got to get done.
And so to step back, where do you think this comes from? Like, is it a family member growing up? Do you know where the seed was put of mental and physical toughness?
That's a good question. I've thought about that a lot. Is it something that people innately have and it's binary, you either do or you don't, or is it grown and learned and nurtured through experiences? I don't know what the right answer is. I believe it's a hybrid. Like somebody has at least the roots of that in their innate DNA. And then through life and through examples of others and your own personal experiences, you can kind of hone that. In my current job in the Medal of Honor Museum, I've got the privilege to meet many of them. And one of this guy, General Pat Brady, who was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, I hear him say all the time, and I love it. Every one of us, doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what your background, every single person has the opportunity to dig into endless, boundless courage, buckets of courage. It doesn't ever expire. And it can be physical, mental. You can use it and keep using it and keep using it. And in each, you, me, every guy next to us on the street, we all have the same endless amounts of it to tap into if we choose to. It's a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's ultimately putting yourself in the situations, because I think most of the times for most people, you surprise yourself. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then along those lines, is there, like, you're getting ready to go out on a spacewalk, or you just got dropped on a location in Afghanistan? Do you have a something you tell yourself, like a, hey, Chris, this and that, or maybe not?
You know, I don't have like a pep talk for myself or anything, but I do fundamentally believe that at each point in life, you're ready for that moment. Like all of the experiences that you have up till now, like when you were 23 working at, you know, in your first sports organization, there's no way you could take yourself then and put yourself in the role you are now and right, manage all the balls, juggle all the balls you got going. You just couldn't do it. But right, all the experiences that you have to date enabled you to be a rock star at what you do. And I remember that feeling in my first combat mission as a SEAL platoon leader. I feel ready. I feel like all the buds training, all the training I've had, all the discussions and planning and preparation with our unit, we're ready. And whatever happens, you know, we're just going to roll, adapt, adjust, make halftime decisions, that kind of thing. But we're ready.
Yeah, it's great. It is compounding. Life compounds that way. And it's interesting to follow these steps. And that's why I know I've been jumping around a little bit back and forth, but it is interesting to tie kind of early parts of your life to, you know, the middle part, and now to talk about where you are now which at the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, it's sort of a three-part project. We're building a bricks and mortar museum in Arlington, Texas that it'll be not a military history museum. It's going to be a museum of stories. Each one of those people, those recipients, are a human being that had some type of upbringing, whatever it was. Each one's different. And they got in the military, but they did heroic things on the battlefield. And their story is ones we're going to tell. And the goal would be to have people walk out of the museum and go, oh, wow, I'm from Foxborough, Massachusetts, too. You know, I grew up, I know that high school. I know right where that guy grew up, and that kind of thing. And then housed in the museum is going to be a leadership institute. And that's what the recipients are most excited about. Me too, actually. The programmatic content for youth, college level, adult education, experiential education. You know, we're going to have programs of multiple, you know, a day, half a day, multiple days, you know, whatever it is, and tie into other leadership institutes around the country, using the Medal of Honor brand and the unique ability to have Medal of Honor recipients be part of that programmatic content. So that'll be in Arlington, Texas, and then in those two things. And then a monument on the Mall in Washington, D.C. If you're Abraham Lincoln sitting in the his memorial, down by his left foot is where our monument will be. And so we're just working hard to get, we'll start digging, turning dirt and digging, starting construction just after Christmas. And it'll be a couple of years to build it.
That's awesome. Well, I'll make sure to include links to all that, but we have this really unique community here. How can we support you? You're up to there, or, you know, everywhere else.
Well, I appreciate you just having me on and adding the link to the museum. I think there's a lot of parallels between military members and sports, you know, performance on the sports field.
Yeah.
As I think you do too. And so I think that's really cool that you're including me into this. And I love watching sports documentaries because it shows you the behind the scenes and the preparation and the practice that you don't see when you just tune in on Sunday at 3 o'clock, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think over the years and being around Tom and seeing him meet different people, you could be the one, the top most excited person. You know, he was just so excited to meet you. And I think everybody, it's hard to get your head around everything you've accomplished, and congrats to you. Thank you for your time. The hardest part of today was trying to keep it short, because I feel like I have a million questions, but thank you again for the time and your friendship, and we'll definitely be talking again real soon.
Awesome. Thanks, my friend.